Let's get wild. It's the Zoo Minute with Greg Dancho from Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo on Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
I don't understand is that you can invest in killing the geese, but then you can't invest in getting them a habitat that's just as good, same cost, but not killing them.
To see the community come out the way that it has right now, I think it kind of shows that, not for nothing, those geese are kind of a part of the fabric of Bristol.
I mean, today's show seems to be going to the geese. Bristol residents packed a meeting last night weighing in on what to do with the massive geese population in town. In fact, the Bristol Board of Park Commissioners, they had put forward a geese management plan. It would authorize both lethal and non-lethal measures to deter the animals at city-owned parks and properties. But a lot of people said you cannot euthanize those animals. There have to be better solutions. And this is something that Bristol and many other communities in Connecticut have been tackling over the years. And they use things like dogs, fake swans. Even one community, I think in Norwalk, said that they'd used oil on the eggs so that they wouldn't continue hatching more and more babies. I wanted to know from one of our animal experts on the show what he thinks about all of this. And so Greg Dancho is here for our Zoom Minute. And Greg, you've had your fair share of goose issues, have you not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
I'm not sure that's a great term for it. But
I don't think it is. It definitely is not.
Well, yeah, it's geese, Canada geese. And what people call them Canadian geese, actually they're Canada geese. Canada geese, for many, many years ago, were not a problem in Connecticut because the Canada geese stayed in Canada and they migrated through the area going south. They head down through Connecticut, down the Atlantic Flyway, down to, you know, the fields of corn down south where they could feed, you know, when they got too inclement up north. So those were migratory geese, and basically they'd be a stopover, bing, they'd be there and they'd be gone. Over the years, there has been geese that have been bred in Connecticut, and it was part of for hunting and for, you know, for wildlife, you know, not conservation, but having a goose in the area. So these animals now being bred in Connecticut have made Connecticut their home.
So that's why they're here, to answer the question of many callers this morning. Why are the Canada geese even coming to Connecticut?
They're not coming to Connecticut. They are here in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll move around a lot, and they'll maybe move a little south if the weather gets here a little bad. But now they're migrating from Connecticut down south and coming back to Connecticut. So basically, you can consider them year-round residents. And the reason they're year-round residents is because we really haven't had the kind of winters we've had in the past.
Right, we've had those mild winters.
You know, they could still forage on grasses, and that's basically what you do. You see them on lawns. You see them around the ponds. They will eat vegetation, aquatic vegetation, but really they get up on the lawns in Beardsley Park, and they'll big flocks will come in, and they'll chew it down. Then they'll move off. Leave their droppings. And that's what a lot of people are concerned about. They're concerned a couple things. They're concerned about the droppings on the lawn. People go on the lawn to go, you know, either play or picnic, and there's a mess. There's a potential hazard for bacterial infection from that. If you don't wash up and you get that material on you. And third, when they start to nest, and they're starting to nest pretty soon too, they can get fairly aggressive. And they can go after people. So it's, and again, can they hurt somebody? Their wings are pretty strong. If they, you know, so they can inflict some damage, but they're not, I would consider them dangerous, but they can be very aggressive during the nesting season, which is coming up very, very rapidly right now.
Oh, wow.
And in Beardsley Park, we see, again, goslings will be out pretty shortly, you know, walking around the streets with mom, crossing back and forth. And really in Beardsley Park, they are residents. They're here. They're just not going. Now, that being said, the Owl Wives and Blueback Herring Run is going right now out in the Pequannock River here in Bunnell's Pond. And the eagles and the ospreys have come back to feed on those. And we haven't seen much geese on the property right now.
Oh, that's
so they've all gone to ground because the hawks are going above and they get a little nervous about that.
Yeah.
Even though an eagle will take a canada goose, but ospreys really are not. But so it's interesting, how do we take care of this?
That's, I was gonna say, has this been an issue for you guys in the past? It sounds like you have them there. I mean, has Bridgeport had to address this before, or has this been a problem?
We have not in a very aggressive way. We've had people come out with shepherd sheepdogs, Australian sheepdogs or border collies, that kind of do the herding behavior with, mm-hmm. with sheep. But they've also been trained now to do a kind of a herding behavior with geese. And geese don't like to be herded.
Right. They don't like to be told what to do. Right.
Yeah, they don't like to get herded. But whatever, they will fly away. And if you keep after that for a while, the geese will move on to another area. So if you make it uncomfortable for them to be there, eventually they will move on. So that's one method of way people have been working with geese. But that means having somebody with a dog that goes out there on a daily basis, maybe twice a day, maybe three times a day, to make sure those geese are moved off the property. And that seems to have been fairly effective. Other things they've been using is putting oils on the grasses. Again, makes a mess. I don't know how much of really effective it is. The last thing I've seen is ultrasonic material, a thing that's placed in the ground that emits a high-pitched ultrasonic noise.
Oh.
And the geese seem to not like that.
Can
right?
we hear it or
and
no? We can't hear that.
It's interesting. I can't hear it at my age, but my grandkids and younger people can hear it. They can hear the high-pitched whine. So it's within, as my ears are going south, I can't hear it. But younger people can, and it's a really high-pitched kind of squeal. Now, we've used that at some areas and seen that the geese have not been there as much. We put wires up to keep, again, most of these geese, the geese really love to be to land in the water and then walk out of the water onto land. So when you're seeing geese, a lot of times it'll be right by a pond or a stream or a river where they can land there. And they can land on land, of course, but they'd rather land in the water and walk in. We've also seen that by maintaining a very heavy edge along our waterway here, the geese, don't like landing in the water and having to go through brush to get into the lawn.
I was going
to
say, that was one of the things I think that was suggested in the hearing last night, was creating, because they are going, is having almost like a buffer, this tall grass or something like a brush. Yep. That's okay. That was another thing that was suggested.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's also, not only that may be a deterrent for the geese, but it's also, it's riverine habitat. It forms shade over the water, so that's good for the environment, good for
it's kind
the
of a win-win.
Fish.
Hmm.
It's really a win-win. It's a good place for native songbirds to nest in and use as a pathway for safety. So yeah, that kind of thing I like a lot, and we've tried that in Bunnell's Pond here, and it seemed to have worked. Again, the geese, will not want to walk through the brush, so that seems to work. The other option is called addling eggs. Or oiling eggs. And what that does is people going, again, some resources that needed. You go to the nest, you find the eggs that are there, and there's two ways. Addling means shaking. So you shake the egg, and that makes the egg infertile. Not infertile, but it keeps the egg from hatching.
Yep.
Or you oil the egg. An oily egg means that there's no oxygen getting through the egg, which, again, renders the egg non-viable. So those are two options for that. And that's been done not only for Canada goose, but also mute swans, because mute swans can be very, very aggressive. Also, that's an introduced species, and that has some ramifications in the environment. If there's too many mute swans going around, they disrupt the habitats for other native waterfowl. So addling the eggs, oiling the eggs is also a way to do that. And if you do this on a regular basis and you stay with it, then the geese don't think about coming to lay their eggs there anymore. The population goes down and they move on to another location.
Wow. I don't know why I even thought this would throw Greg Dantrow off. Of course, he's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to literally any animal on the planet.
It's one of those things. If I could find a way that would keep Canada geese off of people's lawns and off of golf courses and off of public parks, there's really not one thing that's been the silver bullet
bullet.
If I could figure that out, then I wouldn't have to worry about anything for a while.
I was just going to say, you'd probably be a zillionaire.
Kites. People, again, I talked a little bit before about the ospreys and the eagles in the park. And actually, we have our osprey nest out here in Benelli's Pond that we put up 15 years ago. Last year, they looked like they had some interest. This year, it looks like they're going to lay eggs this year. So
that's
really cool for us to see the ospreys. But some people have taken, you can go online and there's kites.
I've seen those
poles.
Before. Yeah.
Now, a lot of that they use for poles, but they've also tried using that on geese. Then the one last thing I've seen, which I don't think works very well, are the coyotes, quote unquote coyote, metal coyotes.
Oh,
that are stuck
ones,
on the lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fake ones. I've actually watched the geese walk right by them and you know, eat right around them. So
well,
I'm not
it's
sure.
Like
again,
scarecrows.
There has to be something. Yeah.
You know
well, the scarecrow has to scare something. If those things moved around or did something, then maybe yes. But if they just sit there after a while, they become part of the landscape and there's no, there's nothing that happens.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We know that Connecticut's only zoo, the Beardsley Zoo, is AZA accredited, which is pretty unbelievable considering there's only a little over 200 different places across the country that have the AZA accreditation. And there's an initiative across the U.S. this weekend called Party for the Planet. And you can bet your bottom dollar that Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo is getting in on all the action. What is this all about, Greg? And what do people need to know with this upcoming weekend?
Sure, Melissa. Yeah. Oh, about 6 years ago, Earth Day is coming up, and Arbor Day, and all the really good conservation days are coming up. And through the AZA, because there are so many people that visit a zoos and aquariums throughout the country, you know, it's like 130 million people will visit. There was an idea to say, okay, why don't we work together and create something that is not just an individual party, for an event for the zoo in your local area. But why don't we make it national? And so that's what really was the impetus of this, was the getting together all the zoos and aquariums in the country and saying, okay, can we do an annual Party for the Planet? And that this is going to be the sixth annual event for this. And there's going to be over 100 zoos throughout the country that are going to be working with this program just to make awareness of our environment, to support our conservation and support the environment. And by doing this, we are able to get a lot more people involved. And that's really important because, again, it's really engagement. It's education, why this is important. And the most important thing is have fun. So there's work to be done, too. So we were just talking about the Pequannock River down here in Beardsley Park. And we have a river cleanup coming up on Saturday. Last year, we had volunteers go out there, and they cleaned up almost 1,500 pounds of waste and trash in the river. Now, that's really great that we were able to do that. It's really kind of depressing that it was there. But again, the volunteers came in. They did a great job of cleaning out the area around the banks of the river, and we got rid of a lot of waste, and those guys we allow into the zoo afterward to enjoy the zoo after their labors are walking walking down the river. So that was really kind of fun. We also this weekend we have AZA Safe, which is a Saving Animals from Extinction program, and we have students here from the One River School of Art and Design with an art and sculpture show. Featuring sculpture of endangered animals from recycled material. So we're really excited about that for people to come and see that. We also can have people doing creating their own seed balls here so they can take them home and start their own pollinator garden. So we can also contribute to our local ecosystem support, which is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, we have Energize Connecticut, which is with Avangrid. They have a mobile interactive exhibit that will be here teaching children about energy efficient generation. So really, the whole weekend is kind of rolled around this party for our planet, which is within the name. That's why it's in the name.
I love it.
Really excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really excited about that. I'm not sure if they're going to do it this weekend, but we do have our trout release that we've been releasing brook trout into the Pequannock River, and those brook trout are growing up. We talked about this before, that they've been extinct. They were exterminated in the river for over 50 years, and now they've actually come back because of the efforts of our zoo and the kids that work with our trout in the classroom program. So all this kind of stuff really makes me very happy.
Yes, I could tell. I mean, but it's wonderful, and it makes us happy as well. I mean, I think it's all really great stuff, and I'm so glad that we have such incredible access to this. Again, AZA accredited places, it's few and far between. There's really not a lot of them, and we're very lucky to have just a few right here in Connecticut, including the Beardsley Zoo. And of course, if you want to learn more, if you want to make sure you don't miss a beat, you can always go to their website, beardsleyzoo.org. It's all spelled out, beardsleyzoo.org. They also have their social media pages to keep up with them. Greg, I hope you have a wild weekend. Don't go too crazy though. don't be too much of a party animal.
There's a lot of cleanups going on. We'll be doing that locally and at the zoo, and we're also doing it around town. Again, this is just a big effort, and I think everybody, I think we all benefit from it.
I love it. Well, Greg, thank you so much, and I hope it's a fantastic weekend. And also, thanks for switching gears and talking about geese in the beginning of this. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
All right,
take care. Have a great weekend.
You too. Greg Dantrow of the Beardsley Zoo. One more time with their website, it is beardsleyzoo.org.